Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is truly great, is he not? He truly, truly is. And I was just thinking as the praise band was singing, how good it is to have Addie at home. She's a college student. You know, it refreshes my heart to see a college student come home to contribute to the worship of her church. And I'm blessed by that. I'm so grateful for our college students who love the Lord and love the church, and they are willing to serve the Lord. So God bless all of you, all of the praise band. We're so grateful for all of you. If you have your Bible this morning, please open it with me to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9. As you're turning there, I want to say to you, a few weeks ago, I began a Wednesday night series called Names Above All Names, and we've been exploring the four names of the promised Messiah identified by the prophet Isaiah. So about 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah tells us about a child, a son, a baby, who would be born into this world. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The text says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders." Now watch this. "And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." Hey, friends, listen. This is no ordinary baby. This is no ordinary child, because Isaiah says in verse 7, "The government will be on his shoulders, and that the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." Now, these names that we have identified from the prophet Isaiah are names that identify the character and personality and essence of who this child is. And friends, there's been only one child who's been born into our world in all of history who fulfills the meaning of all of these names perfectly. And so we celebrate his birth every year at Christmas, and his name is Jesus. Now, it's important to understand the context. Now, listen, anytime you're studying scripture, context always matters. And so it's important that we understand the context here. It's a time of war. And Isaiah gave his prophecy at a time when the people were very far from peace. The northern kingdom of Israel had joined forces with Syria, and they were marching on Jerusalem. The Assyrian Empire was very much on the rise, and it wouldn't be long before they would capture or defeat the Babylonian Empire. And they would be the dominant world power. And the people of Judah were surrounded by conflict and war on every side. In the midst of the conflict, the prophet Isaiah speaks up and he prophesies the birth of a child whom we call Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And so when we hear the word prince, I'm sure we immediately begin to think of some junior king who aspires to one day be the senior king. But that's not it at all. The Hebrew word here carries with it the idea of a ruler, a ruler. And so Isaiah is telling us that this baby is more than just another baby, but he will be a ruler who brings peace and shalom wherever he reigns. Now today our world, as you know, is being rocked by war and violence. It's distressing anymore to watch the news and hear reports of disease and famine and terror and death. And today we see hatred spilling over into our daily lives, and the venom of hate is spewed in our media every day. You know, the seeds of hate and division are being sown in our colleges and universities. And even our homes and families are not immune from division and discord. Listen. The world needs help. The world needs hope. And that's why the prophet Isaiah could stand and say, there is coming a child that will one day be the Prince of Peace. You know, Isaiah tells us that this little baby we worship is the Prince of Peace. So let me ask you something. Is peace what you need in your life today? Do you need peace in your life? Well, let me share with you four ways this morning our Prince of Peace can bring peace into your life. And the first is this: Jesus brings spiritual peace between you and God. He brings spiritual peace between you and God. You know, a lot of people struggle with this one because they believe that they're already at peace with God. And they have no idea that they are at odds with God. They are simply not aware of the conflict that they have with God. And they think, well, you know, Brother Richard, I'm a good person. I believe in God. I don't have anything against God. I think he's a wonderful person. I believe he loves me, and all that is true. I believe all that. I believe that God is on my side. So why do I need someone to bring peace between me and God? That's a great question, and we need to understand it. Here's the reason. And the reason is we're separated from God because of our sin. We are separated from God because of our sin. Now, we may think sin is not that big of a deal, but friends, listen to me. Sin is a very big deal. Sin is offensive to holy God. Sin is what separates us from him. Sin alienates us from God. Therefore, we need a redeemer. We need a savior. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, we see that the scripture says, your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. That's what sin does. Sin alienates us from God. But listen, in Colossians 1:21, Paul says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your behavior. Did you circle that word, enemies? Listen, if you're here today and you are outside of Christ, let me tell you what God says about you. Though he loves you, you are an enemy to him. You're an enemy combatant. Because your allegiance is not to him, your allegiance is to your spiritual father, Satan himself. Jesus looked at the Pharisees in John chapter 8, he pointed at them, and he said, you're all children of the devil. You follow and you do the will of your father, Satan, who is a liar and the father of lies. And friends, if you're outside of Christ today, you're just like the Pharisees. Satan is your father. And you're at odds with God. You're an enemy. So listen, if you're outside of Christ today, guess what? You have a quarrel with God. And it's not that God is wrong, it's that we're wrong. You've got a problem. Jesus said in John 3:36, he who believes on the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Friends, that's the most terrifying statement in the Bible. The wrath of God abides on you. Listen, if you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, let me give you this warning. The wrath of God abides on you. Friends, the only reason you're not in hell today is because of the grace of God. And only the grace of God holds back the full fury of God's anger toward you and your sin. But one day the dam of God's grace is going to burst. That day will happen when you breathe your last breath and you leave this world. And you will experience eternity separated from God in a place called hell. Richard, I don't believe in hell. Well, friend, it won't make it 1 degree cooler when you're there. Hell is a real place of real for real people forever. And so, friends, I want you to understand today, with all the love I can muster, if you are here today outside of Christ, you need a Savior. You need a Redeemer. The greatest need of your life is this precious baby that was born in a manger. He came to save you. He came to rescue you. So the question is, how can we be made right with God? The answer is found in Romans 5:1. We are reconciled to God through Jesus' death. Paul writes in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. No longer enemies, but now we are friends. We are at peace. We were formerly enemy combatants, but no longer. Not that God has changed, but that He has changed us. And He's allowed us to come into His presence. Listen, Jesus died on the cross to pay the punishment of our sin, every one of them. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. Jesus Christ went to the cross and He paid your sin debt in full. Y'all say in full. In full. Yes, every one of them. Your sin debt is paid in full. But the only way Christ can impact your life today is for you and me to personally receive Him as Lord and Savior. The question is, have you done that? Have you done that? If not, there's no time like the present. No better way to begin a new year than with a new relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, our daughter Erin had a heart transplant back in 2021. Many of you know her story. I love hearing Erin tell her story, tell her testimony. She always says, when she tells her story, Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me. He gave me a new heart. Jesus came to my rescue. Listen, church, listen. We all need a new heart. All of us. We need to be rescued. And only Jesus can save you. It's not in your church membership. It's not in changing your behavior. It's not hoping you go to heaven. No, it's only Jesus who can radically transform you. He can exchange your cold, dead, lifeless heart and give you a brand new heart, one filled with hope, one filled with peace, one filled with joy, a hope that can only be explained in the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, friends. By simply humbling ourselves before the Lord and acknowledging our sin and trusting in the finished work of Jesus on our behalf, you and I can experience peace with God. Is that what you need today? Peace with God. So that's the first way Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He gives us spiritual peace between us and God. But secondly, this morning, Jesus brings you personal peace through a relationship with God. Personal peace. So not only can you have spiritual peace with God, but you can experience peace, the peace of God. Sadly, many professing believers do not live in peace. Their lives are an ongoing horror story. There is constant strife, there is anguish, there is tension, there is worry. But listen, Jesus offers a remarkable inner peace when we rest in Him. How? Well, He gives you His own peace through the Holy Spirit. The day you got saved, something truly remarkable happened. The Spirit of God came and He indwelled you. And He provides for you all the spiritual resources you need to live a victorious Christian life. You know, in John 14, Jesus talks about sending us the Holy Spirit. In verse 27, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Listen, this is a promise that Jesus offers you. Real peace during the difficult times of life, during the storms, during the painful times of life, you can still know the peace of God. Listen, Jesus is not offering you some cheap secondhand peace. He is not offering you a discounted peace. He is offering you His peace. His peace. So this is a peace unlike any other. He gives you his peace through his Holy Spirit who lives within you. But he also gives you a peace of God which surpasses all understanding. I love what Paul writes in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. He writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And the what? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, church, this is the best deal in the world. Through prayer, Jesus takes your worries, and in exchange, he gives you and me his peace. That's the reason you and I need to be before the Lord in prayer. You need peace in your life. My friend, I want to encourage you to develop a prayer life. Because as we come to the Lord and we cast our cares upon him, listen, I'm here to tell you today that our God is a God who not only hears our prayers, he answers prayer. And some of you are sitting in here today and you can give testimony of how God has miraculously heard your prayers and answered in amazing ways. Amen. Can you do that? Anybody in the house say that? Yes. Yes. Our God is an awesome God. He hears our prayers and he responds. And when we call upon him and leave our requests before him, he promises his peace, his peace. So friends, listen. This is a supernatural peace. It's a supernatural peace that defies understanding. Richard, explain that. What does that mean? I can't. It's inexplicable. I just know it's true. It's true. The Lord invites us to come to him with our needs, our petitions, our concerns, our burdens, our heartaches, our heartbreaks, and leave them with him. And he promises to give us his peace. May I ask you a question today? Do you need his peace in your life? Well, he invites you to come. Just come from wherever you are, how badly your heart hurts today. The Lord just says, come. Come and trust me with your need. But thirdly this morning, I want to say to you that Jesus brings relational peace between you and others. You know, human beings have experienced conflict ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam blamed Eve for giving him the fruit of the tree. Isn't that what men do, right? We blame the wife, isn't that right? That's what Adam did. And it was only a short time later where Cain was jealous of his own brother Abel and murdered him in the field. And on it goes. And so many of the sorrows we experience in this life are a result of strained and broken relationships. But Jesus enables us to enjoy relational peace with others. Well, how does he do that? Well, he requires that you forgive as you have been forgiven. You must forgive as you have been forgiven. You know, when Peter asked Jesus, "How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" You know what he said? Jesus said, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7, an infinite number." We're to continually forgive and not hold grudges. Listen, living at peace with others even takes priority in our worship this morning. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, "Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering." So stop and take stock of your life this morning. Is there someone you're not at peace with today? Could it be a family member you're at odds with, a friend, a coworker, neighbor, maybe someone in your Sunday school class, Well, let me ask you, have you mended that relationship? Have you taken the necessary steps to reconcile with that individual? Well, my friend, you must. And you're thinking, well, Richard, you have no idea what that person did to me. Doesn't matter. Do you realize what your sin did to Jesus Christ? Yet he died in your place on a cross. And when you invited him into your life to be your Lord and Savior, he forgave you of all your sin, all of them, holding nothing back. And my friend, as Jesus has forgiven us, we are to forgive others. We're to forgive. We're to make things right. We're to be peacemakers. Have you forgiven where you need to forgive? Have you made things right where you need to make things right? This I know. Whenever there is a conflict of any kind between two or more people, it boils down to the fact that one or both parties involved are not submitting to the rule of Christ over their lives. You know, all of us have to submit to the Prince of Peace in order to experience his peace in our lives. Could it be today that there's a need to reconcile with a brother or a sister in Christ? This morning, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul warns of participating in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. So perhaps this morning you need to evaluate your life and ask yourself, is there someone today I need to get right with? I want to urge you to do that. Listen, the Spirit of God can help you with this matter of forgiveness as you humble yourself before him and ask for his help in forgiving others. Maybe it's necessary to go to someone and apologize for a harsh word or something that was stated or something that you've done that has inflicted harm on someone else. And we need to go make that right. But friends, the Lord is absolutely serious about his people being right with each other. You cannot be right with God and wrong with your brother. We've got to make it right. So this morning, perhaps we need to submit afresh and anew to the rule of Christ over our lives. But lastly this morning, I want to say to you that Jesus will bring world peace when he returns to rule forever. You know, as the Prince of Peace, Jesus brings spiritual peace between you and God. He brings personal peace through a relationship with God. He brings you relational peace with others. But lastly, he will bring world peace when he returns to rule forever. And what I want to say to you here is that Jesus will eliminate war between the nations. Can you say amen to that? There will be no more war. The Bible tells us that when Jesus returns, he will eliminate war between the nations. I really believe with all my heart that war is the greatest scourge on human history. War destroys lives. It stirs up hatred. It rips families apart. It causes untold suffering. But one day, war will be no more. No more. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4 says this, "Now it will come to pass that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he may teach us about his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go out from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and will mediate for many peoples, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war.'" I'm so thankful this morning that war is a temporary evil. It's only temporary. But friends, when the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, returns, he will bring peace to all the nations. Let me skip ahead to verse 7 in Isaiah 9. Isaiah writes, there will be no end to the increase of his government of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So listen, the Prince of Peace will reign on David's throne and rule in righteousness forever and ever. Oh, friend, that day is coming. That day is coming. Today, we may grow discouraged by the injustices of our broken, messed up world. We grow weary of the hate, the crime, the violence, the wars, the rumors of wars. But one day, Jesus will return and take his rightful place on the throne of David, and he will rule over the nations in perfect peace and righteousness. Friends, we have a glorious future to look forward to, do we not? That day is coming. So this morning, we've looked at four ways that Jesus perfectly fulfills the name Prince of Peace. But I want you to notice that there is a progression between the various aspects of his name. Spiritual peace comes first, then there's personal peace, then there can be a relational peace with one another, and finally, one day, when Jesus returns, there will be world peace. That's the reason we call him Prince of Peace. Isaiah says this little baby is to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you this morning that this little baby born in Bethlehem changes everything. He changes everything. Praise God for the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. So come, Lord Jesus. We long for your perfect peace, your perfect shalom. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. You alone are the Prince of Peace, and you alone are worthy of glory and honor forever. We worship you this morning. We love you, and we honor your great name. Be pleased with our worship this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.